ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिङ्ग् फ्रोम् ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद् भागवतम् केन्टो 9 Chapter 18, chapter entitled King Yayati Regains His Youth. I'll read the translation for text 3 and 4 and we'll chant the Sanskrit for text 5 because it has the purport. Text 3, translation, because Nahusa, the father of Yayati, molested Indra's wife, Sachi, who then complained to Agastya and other Brahmanas. These saintly Brahmanas cursed Nahusa to fall from the heavenly planets and be degraded to the status of a python. Consequently, Yayati became the king. Text 4. King Yayati had 4 younger brothers whom he allowed to rule the 4 directions. Yayati himself married Devayani, the daughter of Sukracharya, and Sarmista, the daughter of Vrishaparva, and ruled the entire earth. Text 5. Sri Raja Vacha Brahmasir Bhagavan Kavya Shatrabandhus Cha Nahusa Rajanya Viprayo Kasmad Vivaha Pratilomaka. Sri Raja Vacha Brahmasir Bhagavan Kavya Shatrabandhuscha Nahusa Rajanya Viprayo Kasmad Vivaha Pratilomaka. Sri Raja Vacha Brahmasir Bhagavan Kavya Shatrabandhuscha Nahusa Rajanya Viprayo Kasmad Vivaha Pratilomaka. Matajis. Mataji's Mataji's, please. శ్రీ రాజవాచ మహారాజ్ పరీక్షిత్ ఎన్క్వైర్డ్ బ్రహ్మ ఋషి ద బెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద బ్రాహ్మణస్ భగవాన్ వెరీ పవర్ఫుల్ కావ్య శుక్రాచార్య శత్రుబంధు బిలాంగ్ టు ద క్షత్రియ క్లాస్ Cha also Nahusa King Yayati Rajanya Viprayo of a Brahmana and a Kshatriya. Kasmat how Vivaha a marital relationship Pratilomaka against the customary regulative principles. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit said, Sukracharya was a very powerful Brahmana and Maharaj Yayati was a Kshatriya. Therefore, I'm curious to know how there occurred this Pratiloma marriage between a Kshatriya and a Brahmana. Purport. According to the Vedic system, marriages between Kshatriyas and Kshatriyas or between Brahmanas and Brahmanas are the general custom. If marriages sometimes take place between different classes, these marriages are of two types, namely Anuloma and Pratiloma. Anuloma marriage between a Brahmana and the daughter of a Kshatriya is permissible. Pratiloma, marriage between a Kshatriya and the daughter of a Brahmana, is not generally allowed. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was curious about how Sukracharya, a powerful Brahmana, could accept the principle of Pratiloma. Maharaj Parikshit was eager to know the cause for this uncommon marriage. ఓం అజ్ఞాన తిమురందస్య గణంజన శలాకాయ చక్షుర్మిళితమైన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవై నమః నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణభస్తాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే దేవామృత స్వామినీతి నామిని నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణభస్తాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినీతి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశారిణి శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శివసది గౌర భక్తవంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ Very special day today. Like we were singing in the Tamudrashtakam, Namo Radhikayai Todiya Priyaye Namo Nanta Leelaya Devaya Tubhyam, that Krishna comes to this world and performs unlimited pastimes. Like today, you know, so many amazing occasions like Tulsi Vivaha, Katyayana Vrata, Rasa Yatra, Nimbarka's appearance day, Bhishma Panchaka, end of Chaturmasya, is like so many wonderful things to remember. Like when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur started this newspaper, Nadia Prakash, there was a politician, he asked him, you know, what information you have that you started a newspaper, because newspaper means a lot of information on a regular basis. So Bhaktisiddhanta explained to him how this world is just like 1/4 of this material universe, is just 1/4 of Krishna's creation. So much going on in the spiritual world we can remember about and chant about and become purified. And in this translation and purport, even though Maharaj Parikshit was leaving for Krishna's planet very soon, we are already in the 9th canto, but still he's curious about this marriage between a Brahmana girl and a Kshatriya, Yayati. Because these things are important, this is Varnashrama Dharma, like Krishna established this. Krishna explains, Chaturvarnam Maya system Guna Karma Vibhasa. Krishna explained that he established this Varnashram Dharma, so everything can be in orderly, everything can be sane, and people can have the peace of mind and regulated lifestyle to worship Vishnu. Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parat Puman Vishnu Aradhyate Pumsan says, with Varnashram system, the goal is that we can worship Vishnu. Like Arjuna feared, if there was no Varnashram system in place, then there'll be Varna Sankaras. Varna Sankaras, he was very worried, he didn't want it to fight. When there's Varna Sankaras, then we will have situation like we have now. There is pretty much no consciousness of God, or very little consciousness of God, what to speak of. The depth of Krishna consciousness. Like John Lennon said one time, most kids are born over a bottle of whiskey on a Saturday night. So this is the consciousness, this is the kind of consciousness the kids will have. So this is very important. This is a very important principle. This is preserved. But unfortunately in this age, there is no Varnashrama. And practically speaking, like Prabhupada said, there are no real Brahmanas. Brahmana means, you know, somebody who knows how to perform yajna and teach others how to perform yajna, give in charity, accept charity, give knowledge, accept knowledge, like this. And for performing yajna, we need cow, we need ghee, we need milk, we need yogurt, like this. But in this age, the scripture says, janmana jayate sudra, everybody is born pretty much a sudra, and there's no milk available. I was watching one documentary in Australia. They, you know, Australia, New Zealand, they have a lot of milk. And there are a lot of Asian people live there. So people from like China and India, like this, they take all the milk powder from the stores and send it back home. Because basically speaking, this like mass cow killing going on, and there's billions of people, is it's expected you're not going to get much milk. So they get all the milk powder from Australia and New Zealand, send it back home for their family. It's become such a headache that the locals can't even have. They're buying so much, so they put a ban, like, okay, you have to show the birth certificate of your kids before you can buy milk powder. If you have two kids, then we allow you like 4 cartons a week or something like that. So this is a very sad situation, but we're not surprised, you know. So it, in Kali Yuga, there'll be no milk, no sugar, no grains like this. But the beautiful thing is, in this age, it's explained that the saintly people, they actually worship Kali Yuga because there is Sankirtan Yajna. Even the Kali Yuga is so degraded, Bhagavatam explains like devatas, demigods are standing in line to take birth in this planet so they can participate in the Sankirtan movement, because when you have too much enjoyment, you cannot remember God, like in the heavenly planets. We're reading about all kinds of interesting things happening in the heavenly planets. And when you're suffering too much in the hellish planets, lower planets, we can also not remember Krishna. It's too much suffering, too much painful situation. But this earth planet is a combination of hell and heaven. Nobody is completely suffering. Nobody is completely happy. And here we have the Sankirtan movement, so it's perfect combination. So this Sankirtan Yajna and devotion to Krishna actually makes up for all the shortcomings that we are experiencing in this age. Like we're reading the Damodarashtakam, it mentions how Krishna is actually sold out to his devotee's love, and he's not impressed with anything else. It's there are songs written, Brajabasi song, that says just for a little cup of buttermilk, the older cowherd woman will ask Krishna to dance, and he would dance, and then they'll give him a little buttermilk. Not that he is after that buttermilk, but they have so much love for Krishna. So Krishna is very pleased. Like the four Kumaras, they were actually impersonalists. But just by smelling the tulsi leaves from Krishna's lotus feet, you know, they became greatest devotees. Today we're celebrating this Nimbarka. Nimbarka Swami's appearance day. It's a beautiful name. Nimba. Nimba is, means neem tree. And Arka means sun. So he was a very powerful preacher. So one time he debated with a Jain guru. And he defeated him. But after defeating him, Nimbarka Acharya had no false ego. So he invited this guru, Jain guru, to have prasad with him. But the Jain guru, being so humiliated and offended, he said, "Oh, I don't eat after sunset. I don't have the habit of eating." So Nimbarka Acharya brought the sun out of a neem tree, made sun appear out of a neem tree. That's why it's called Nimba Arka. Arka means sun. And this way Jain scholar was very impressed. He took prasad with him and he felt very honored. So Nimbarakacharya, he was worshipping Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva appeared to him and said, "You know, there are four Kumaras living in such and such forest, Bilva forest, that you should go there and learn from them the spiritual life properly like this." So Nimbarakacharya went, and Sanat Kumar actually preached to him and said, don't be a sinful rascal like us. One of the Kumaras was saying they were so sinful, they were thinking Krishna is just some energy or light. And they gave him the mantra for worshipping Radha and Krishna, and they instructed him, said, "You should actually worship Radha Krishna." So Nimbarakacharya worshipped Radha Krishna, and Radha Krishna appeared to him because of his devotion. And they also gave him darshan as Lord Chaitanya. This is all mentioned in the Navadvip Mahatmya. And he appeared to him as Lord Chaitanya, and he gave him blessings. And when Lord Chaitanya was about to disappear, like leave, Nimbarakacharya was very sad. But Lord Chaitanya said, "Don't worry. In the future, I'm going to appear in Navadvip Dham, and you will also appear with me. And we're going to perform a pastime together." And Lord Chaitanya actually told him ahead of time what role he's going to play. He was the Kesava Kashmiri. There was this great scholar. His name was Kesava Kashmiri. He was from this Kashmir province. And he was such a scholar that just if somebody mentions his name, like all the scholars would be scared. So this Keshava Kashmiri was touring throughout India and defeating everyone. And then when he actually came to Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya was in the bank of Ganges with his school friends, having fun, having pastimes. And Keshava Kashmiri came by, and Lord Chaitanya knew, oh, this person is such and such, and he's so proud of his scholarship. So Lord Chaitanya asked him, oh, could you please, you're such a great scholar, compose a prayer on Mother Ganges, Ganga Mata. So immediately, like it says, at the speed of wind, he immediately composed this beautiful prayers glorifying Mother Ganga. But Lord Chaitanya, even though he was just a young boy, he heard the whole prayer. And at the end of the prayer poem, Lord Chaitanya pointed out to Keshava Kashmiri, you know, you wrote such a nice poem, but you made a mistake. I mean, for Keshava Kashmiri to hear that, like a young boy pointing out that he made a mistake, was like worse than death. And Lord Chaitanya said, you wrote this poem saying Bhavani Bhartu. That means there was a flaw in the poem, saying because Keshava Kashmiri wrote Bhavani Bhartu. Bhavani means Lord Shiva, excuse me, wife of Lord Shiva. And Bhartu means husband. So Lord Chaitanya pointed out, you wrote Bhavani Bhartu, which means the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. So, you know, what is that? So he felt so humbled. He went home and he couldn't even sleep. All night he was tossing and turning. He felt so humiliated. He was wondering, who is this boy? Who is this boy like this? And Mother Saraswati actually came to him in his dream and told him, you know, the person who defeated you is the one who I get my knowledge from as well. Even Saraswati gets his knowledge from Lord Chaitanya. So don't feel like this, that that you're defeated by Lord Chaitanya. You should be actually very happy. So this way, Keshava Kashmiri became a great devotee. And Lord Chaitanya, when he appeared to Nimbarka Acharya, he mentioned to him, in the future I will come, I'll defeat you and humble you and dispatch you to spread pure devotional service like this. So when we have Lord Chaitanya's mercy and this chanting, then we become qualified even in this Kali Yuga. We have some real wealth. We have some real fortune. Like Lord Chaitanya said to the Brahmanas, whoever is a possessor of 100,000, I will go to their house for lunch, Lakeshwar. The Brahmana was wondering, where would we go for 100,000? We are poor Brahmanas. But Lord Chaitanya was talking about whoever chants 100,000 names of Krishna every day. So this is real wealth, Lord Chaitanya explained. Even we know the pastime, Sanatan Goswami had the touchstone in the trash can, in the garbage bin. And when this businessman asked him, why you have such a valuable thing in the bin, you must have something more valuable. He gave him Japa beads and taught him how to chant Hare Krishna. So this is the real wealth, real value in this Kali Yuga. And by taking to the Krishna consciousness, we become more than Brahmanas. Like Advaita Acharya actually gave this Shraddha Patra to Haridas Thakur. Even though Haridas Thakur, according to the village standards, he was from a Muslim family and he was not qualified to dine with the exalted Brahmanas, but there were so many exalted Brahmanas present, but Advaita Acharya gave him the offering just to make a point, and he told him, by feeding you, Haridas Thakur, as good as feeding like millions of Brahmanas. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvai gunai statra samasate sura. It says, by taking to Krishna consciousness, worshipping spiritual master, worshipping Krishna, then we develop all the good qualities of the demigods. And if we don't have Krishna consciousness, harava bhaktasya kuto mahat guna, there can be no good qualities. Like Indradumna Swami was traveling with Prabhupada, and the immigration officer was giving such hard time to Prabhupada. And Indradumna Swami told him, if you talk to my guru one more time, I'm going to punch you in your face. This is what he told the immigration officer. The officer was shocked and said, oh, I thought you guys were peaceful. He said, yeah, peaceful, but if you deal with my spiritual master like this, then, you know, you'll see how peaceful I am. But then Indradumna Swami was all disturbed, but Prabhupada looked around and told him, they have no good qualities because they are not Krishna devotees. Again, Prabhupada turned around and told him the same thing. And third time, Prabhupada told him, Indradumna, do you understand? Because they are not Krishna devotees, they have no good qualities. And for the third time, Maharaj got it. Oh my God, this is such a powerful point. Harava bhaktasya kuto magaduguna. So by taking to Krishna consciousness, we develop good qualities. Prabhupada had so much faith in this principle. Like Prabhupada's god brothers would say to Prabhupada, like, you know, your disciples, they're like coal. You know, you wash coal. Where's the end of it? Keep washing, all the black stuff keep coming. Prabhupada said, I don't wash coal, I compress it and make him into diamonds. So Prabhupada had faith that through this process, through this gradual process, that we will become purified. Like Narada Muni says in the Bhagavatam, even if somebody takes to Krishna consciousness, for whatever reason, like four kinds of people approach Krishna, the pious, the inquisitive, the suffering, and one other. Anyways, however we approach Krishna, we're blessed. Even if we don't make it all the way through, still there is no loss. On the other hand, if somebody is so successful materially, but they didn't take to Krishna consciousness, what did they gain? This is Narada Muni's teachings. Prabhupada said, I started preaching with this as a principle, main principle of my teachings. What's the loss? Even if somebody takes to Krishna consciousness a little bit, he's benefited eternally. There's no loss. And what to speak of if somebody says? But it takes time. Like I was listening to one lecture by my Guru Maharaj, he was making this point, how, you know, this is a gradual process. So when somebody is taking to Krishna consciousness, it's like they're taking shower. You can't go to somebody taking shower and say, look, there's like scum, there's dirt coming off. Look, I knew it. No, if he stays in the shower long enough, he will get clean. And same thing, if somebody is coughing, somebody is sick, but if they're taking medicine, sure enough, the sickness will go away, the medicine will work, provided that we keep taking the medicine, we don't stop the medicine. So like that, we've been in this material existence for millions and millions of births, and then we take to Krishna consciousness like 3 years, 3 years, 2 years, 6 months, or even 10 years, 15 years. It's like compared to how many kalpas. It says in the Bhagavatam, only thing that time cannot destroy is ignorance. You can go in the stomach of Mahavishnu and come out, still you'll be ignorant. Isn't it? Like so many kalpas we slept and we come out and then we think we are the body. So this is the only thing time cannot destroy is the ignorance. So millions and millions of births we've been here. So just chanting few years, we shouldn't be impatient. And when we're dealing with people that are chanting, we shouldn't also be impatient with the others chanting. We should just understand that there must be some sincerity for a person to, just the fact is, come to Krishna consciousness. Like my guru was also explaining the same lecture, that you shouldn't take a knife and goes straight to his heart, saying, "You demon, you know, you're such a demon. Let me like stab you in the heart." No, I mean, obviously the person has some level of sincerity and is going to come out eventually, you know, successful, eventually Krishna conscious, but we shouldn't come to the conclusion and not give them any credit. This is the problem. Like Sundar Nithai Prabhu was explaining in his class, like one person makes one wrong move and then you discredit everything they did. So my guru was explaining, he also all the time prays to the deities that he will have the enthusiasm of a new bhakta and the maturity of a senior devotee. He says this is the success combination. We should be enthusiastic like a new devotee and be mature and wise like a older devotee. Otherwise in Kali Yuga, everybody is, like Prabhupada was writing a letter, I was thinking about the Ritviks. You know, in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada is saying everybody is guilty. Like whatever we speak bad about others, we are guilty of the same thing. As soon as we open our mouth, we make a fool out of ourselves. Because this is the material world. I'm sure Suhas Prabhu and other senior devotees that are in the role of counseling, you hear so much. One person did this, this person did that, but they're very merciful, very patient, and give everybody the opportunity to grow, because this is the material world. Everybody is envious. Like Prabhupada gives the example, there was one man, he wanted to go around, see if there is any thieves in the village. But he found out everybody was a thief. So Prabhupada said, this is a material world. Everybody is envious of Krishna. So don't be surprised. We just want to chant Hare Krishna, but they will give us such hard time, Prabhupada said. We just innocently started a temple in Juhu Beach, you know, and we have given such hard time, such fight, such complaints. And so Prabhupada said, this is a material world. Everybody is envious of each other and therefore there are wars. And Prabhupada says, material nature, this is how she punishes each other. Like Prabhupada says, a teacher, she asks two naughty students to stand up and ask one guy to pull the ear of the other student. And then this boy pulls his ear and it hurts so much, but then when he pulls back the other boy's ear and he does it harder, so this way they're pulling each other's ears. So hard and it's so painful, but the teacher is not directly getting involved. We used to do that in school, me and Vaninath. So this is the material nature is doing, like the bombs are not in the hands of saintly people with discrimination and compassion. It's just in the hands of crazy people. And this is basically, you know, this wars for no reason, and nobody can even understand where it all started, and looks like there's no solution for it materially. So Prabhupada said, drop bomb on my head, I drop on your head, like swaha, everything is finished. Millions of dollars finished. So this is what's going on. Like one student was asking in the USC during dinner, like, why vegetarian? Why vegetarian? I was just repeating the words of my guru. I said, like, you know, the world peace actually begins with your lunch plate or dinner plate. If you can just avoid this little piece of meat, you can avoid all the problems like wars and so many consequences, bad karma. So many poor turkeys are killed for, like, saying thanks, you know, you're saying thanks to one and cut the throat of another, so crazy. It's not many panditas around these days. Pandita Samadarshana. Like one guy I met on book distribution long time ago, when the tsunami came to Japan, this boy was from Japan, he said, I was sorry for the country, and this boy, even though he was not a Krishna devotee, he said, oh, We messed so much with the aquatics for so many generations that the karma came back in the form of a tidal wave, the form of a tsunami, and wiped out most of our country. So people have some kind of understanding. And when they read Prabhupada books, they'll connect all the dots and they can see the full picture. Like in Hollywood, I gave the one boy a book and he was hesitant. And then his friend next to him had a favorable look. So I tried to give the friend the book and the friend said, "Oh no, I already have the book." So I said, "Are you reading it? What did you like from the book?" He said, "Oh, I really like the karma art. You have that in the book?" So I showed the karma painting to his friend and then he said, "Yeah, I really like this concept of karma." And then his friend asked him, "Should I buy this book? Is it a good book, good read?" And this guy who already had a book, he said, "It's a good read." And then he said, "But I'm not ready to surrender to Krishna yet." But the friend didn't understand what he meant, but we both had a good laugh. It's like, oh, this boy is clever. Because any intelligent person, you read quickly Prabhupada's few pages, Prabhupada makes it very clear, surrender to Krishna. There's no like hiding or beating around the bush in Prabhupada's purports. It's like a burfi, wherever you eat, it's butter, sugar, milk, you know. It's like wherever you open Prabhupada's books, it's the same thing. Surrender to Krishna and become happy. So this boy was very clever, but at least he know the conclusion. I'm sure he will take to Krishna conscious someday. Like my Guru Maharaj was saying in a marathon address, he said, "Just distribute the books. The material nature will beat the rascals on the head and get them to read the books." So you do your part. Just give them a book. Don't analyze and they will read it sooner or later. And marathon is starting soon, like this Friday. And Prabhupada was very happy with this book distribution. Prabhupada was so pleased. Prabhupada said he felt like a young man when he heard the scores. And Prabhupada was so pleased with book distribution and the devotees were so inspired back then. I mean, we give a book to somebody. But somebody like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was, you know, in a European place where, you know, Krishna consciousness, any religion is, you know, iron curtain. And he was black body in a snow white country. And he was getting standing orders for books that don't even exist. I mean, the books existed in Prabhupada's desire. Okay, I wanted these books to be completed, that's all. But there were devotees like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, even my Guru Maharaj, Devamrita Maharaj and many others. They went into this iron curtain and they were getting book orders and they were distributing books. I mean, imagine the enthusiasm. And how much Prabhupada was pleased that they were risking their lives for this. And when one time when Prabhupada's last days, he was in England. He was really ill and Tamal Krishna Maharaj brought Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Ghanashyam back then. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked Ghanashyam Prabhu, "Okay, you read the reports of your books to Prabhupada." And sure enough, he read and Prabhupada was so happy, so happy. And again the next day, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "Why don't you again go and read the scores for the second day?" And Ghanashyam Prabhu did. But this time Prabhupada was less interested, he was not paying attention, he was having a conversation, he was scratching his head. And after a while, Prabhupada had this sour look on his face and Krishna is the doer, Prabhupada told the Ghanashyam Prabhu. Because he didn't want it that we become proud, we get carried away, you know, as soon as we get a little chance, immediately become proud and we forget that we are here to show compassion. So, this is the solution to the world problems, the Krishna consciousness, individually and collectively. Otherwise, on their own, they will never come to this conclusion of Krishna consciousness. It's like a donkey in a railway track. It's a true story, you know. There was a donkey in a railway track in Mumbai, and people were trying to shoe it so it doesn't get killed, but he started running towards the train. So people have all kinds of problems and confusion, but they'll never turn to Krishna. They just go further and further away from Krishna. So as devotees, we have to be out there so people can see us all colorful, dressed in nice devotional clothes and garlands and doing nice harinams and book distribution like this. So there's so many sincere people, innocent people. They will come to Krishna consciousness. So many have come in the past. So many of us are here now. So many will join us in the future, provided we present it as it is. Any quick comments or questions? Thank you so much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Okay.